Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Karen Klein was just doing her job that day in June of 2012. The 68-year-old grandmother worked as a bus monitor in upstate New York. Suddenly, four seventh-grade boys began taunting her mercilessly. They mocked her weight and called her names. One boy taunted, "You don't have a family because they all killed themselves because they don't want to be near you." Karen's oldest son had committed suicide more than a decade prior. Karen tried to ignore them, but eventually began to cry. The taunting continued for 10 minutes, was captured on a cell phone video, and posted to YouTube to publicly humiliate her. Interesting enough, it did kind of backfire because it brought a lot of attention to the story, and there was a backlash. And there was actually a fundraiser. There was some money raised online for her. She actually could retire then. And the boys actually started receiving death threats. But the point of the story was thinking about respect. And this morning, the title of my message is Respect in the Age of Incivility. So I think most of us are probably aware that as we look around, maybe you listen to the news, you see ads, respect is increasingly gone. There's increasing incivility, there's disrespect, and we see that all around us. So how does that impact us? How do we as Christians fit into that world? So first of all, what is respect? So the definition from the dictionary is that respect is due regard for the feelings, the wishes, the rights, or the traditions of others. And then on the flip side, incivility is defined as rude or disrespectful speech or behavior. So this morning, as we think about respect, we want to see that respect is an attitude of the heart that's going to be displayed in our actions. So typically attitudes, you can't see someone's attitude, but you can see what that attitude produces. And so respect is going to, if we respect someone, it's going to come out in our actions. And as I already said, you know, the world we live in has become increasingly polarized. It's disrespectful towards anyone who thinks differently. And as Christians, we should model a better way that will point others to Christ. For a text this morning, I have one verse out of Luke chapter 6. And you may turn there if you'd like. Like I said, it's just one verse, and it's a very familiar verse, and it's been used probably for many different applications, but this morning I'm going to use it as our starting point for the message on respect. And so in Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." So this passage is what is known as the golden rule, and maybe as parents, you've used this on your children sometimes when they do something to their sibling, and you say, "Would you really want that done to you?" And maybe you're not like me, maybe you've never done that, but as we think of this passage, it's actually the setting here is Jesus doing some teaching. It's often called the Sermon on the Plain. And it's somewhat similar. Some of the content is similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but in this particular part of his message, he's talking about love for enemies, and that's where he brings in this thought of treating others the way you would want to be treated. And so, I think if I were to ask you, most of you would say that you want to be treated with respect. You would like someone to show regard for your feelings, your wishes, your rights. Most of us would choose that. I think probably all of us would choose that. And so very, very simply, Jesus here is saying, if that's what you want for yourself, then do that to others. So as we look at respect this morning, there's seven points that I have, and they're taken from the word respect. And The first one, it's seven different areas where we can show respect. And so the first one is reverence. For R is reverence. And of course, as I think of reverence, I automatically think of reverence for God. And is probably what most of us would think of. And so there's many different verses in scripture that would talk about revering God. Fearing God is another word that's used in many, in the King James especially. And I'm going to read just a few verses out of 1 Samuel chapter 12. Thinking about having reverence for God. And in this particular passage, it's Prophet Samuel is speaking, and it's my Bible titles it Samuel's farewell speech. And he's talking to the people. This was after Saul was anointed king. Samuel was in essence kind of stepping off the scene. And Samuel is giving this speech to the people. And I'm just going to pull just a few verses out of here. And chapter 12, verse 12 is the first one. He's talking about verse 14. But if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Jumping down further, verse 23, he also repeats pretty much the same thing. He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Samuel here was exhorting the people. He said, fear the Lord, honor God, respect God, have reverence for God. And that, he said, that's going to direct all of life going forward. He's saying if you fear the Lord, you're going to serve him. So just like Samuel many, many years ago, so it is for us. If we have a reverence for God, if we fear God, if we respect God, give God his rightful place and have the right attitude toward God, we are going to serve him. We're going to see that he is the ruler. He is the one that we are to serve. As we think of respect, we could look at the example of Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. I'm not going to turn there and read that story, but I think it's a familiar story that most of us have probably heard, where Moses was out tending these sheep in the wilderness, and he sees this bush that's burning, and the bush isn't burned up. He walks over to it, and what does God do? But God speaks to him from the bush, and he says, Moses, take off your shoes or take off your sandals, because you're standing on holy ground. And in that time, from what I was reading in a commentary, that time a symbol of respect was taking off your shoes. It's kind of like we would say now you take off your hat. So when you're in the presence of, well, if you come into church, if you're wearing a cap, you would probably take it off out of respect. And so that was in that day, that was what a symbol of respect was showing respect and reverence to God. And we see that with Moses. There's also a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 12 that I'm going to read as well. Again, talking about having reverence and respect toward God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. And again, this is a passage of, it's a kind of a warning against turning against God. And at the end of the chapter here is 28 and 29. He says, wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So as we, again, kind of the repeating the thought of serving God with reverence and with godly fear. So what does that look like to us today? We can talk about it, but what does it look like? Well, I think another part of that actually is having a respect for God's word. There's a number of verses in Psalms that bear that out as well. I'm going to just look at just a few of them here in Psalm chapter 119. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, verses 1-6, actually. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then will I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. There's down in this passage, there's in this chapter, there's a number of verses that kind of repeat that same theme about having respect for God's word, holding it in high regard. And so thinking about that, as we have respect for God's word, or as we have respect for God, we will have respect for his word because it is an extension of God. And so what does that look like for us today? What does respect for God or reverence for God look like? Again, we said respect is an attitude that shows up in actions. And so as I think of reverence for God, what I think that looks like is, I think first of all, it shows up in our worship. Do we approach God with a casual attitude? Do we come to God? Is our worship of God something that is, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, well, no big deal. But do we have a passion for God? Do we have enough of reverence for God that we make it a priority? What about, you know, do we come with a demanding attitude? Do we come to God and say, you must do this for me because or do we see God in his rightful place and have a reverence, have a respect for God where we approach God, we praise God, but it's not wrong to bring requests, I don't believe, but do we come and demand that God does something for us? What about our worship services? And I think, you know, as I look over the audience, I see attention and I see a reverence that I think we do. I think overall we do really well at having a reverence for God. It's not where everyone's on their phone, or at least if you do, you're doing it down low. I don't see it, but I really don't think that's happening. But you have a reverence. There's a respect here. I talked to the youth a little bit. Now, you all are young and you all have phones, probably, or most of you. Maybe you don't have them with you, which is okay too. But I've been sitting the last couple of weeks, and we kind of got relocated, my wife and I, because we all sit in the same place because we're people of habits. But anyway, so we kind of got relocated over here. And so we're kind of sitting in this great position. I can look across and I can see all of you, all what you're doing. So I'm not sure if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. Most of you don't look too scared yet. But one of the things I will say that I have observed, and this is really, really good, is that I've been watching, you know, as I was kind of preparing for this message, I started thinking about these things a couple of weeks ahead of time, and God had been showing me this. And so I've been kind of thinking about this. So I've been observing things for a few weeks here, and I was kind of sitting there. It was really a great position. So I could sit there and I was kind of watching, looking down the aisles, like seeing, you know, what are you all doing during the service? Are you paying attention? Are you on your phones? And I was not making a list, but the thing that really blessed me is, like, I was watching when scripture was being read, you know, most of you were following, if you had your Bible with you, you're looking, you're following along. I saw some people taking notes. I saw people paying attention, and I was really blessed. And I really want to commend you all for that, because that's pretty impressive. Coming from an old guy, it's pretty impressive when there's teenagers here that are paying attention. They're engaged, and if you're really not engaged, you're making it look that way. So, but I think you are, and I really want to bless you, because that to me is really, that speaks well for the future of the church. So keep it up, keep up that reverence, that respect, because it's evident. Thank you. So that is the R for respect. The second letter E is looking at that of elders, respect for elders, or we could say those in authority over us. So as you think of those in authority, I'm not sure who you think of first, but if you're children or youth, you should be thinking about your parents. So we're going to start with, that. The fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 is honor your father and mother. And so as we look at the definition of honor, one of the definitions of honor is regarding with great respect. And that idea is repeated back in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read the first four verses out of Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul is talking to parents, talking to children. And we're just going to look at that passage and pull just a few thoughts out of those verses. So the first, again, fairly familiar verses, but Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So these first four verses, perhaps as parents, we really like to hang our hat on the first two. You know, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. How many children have ever heard that? How many of your parents have ever told you that? You know, children, obey your parents. Is that maybe the most quoted Bible verse at times? I'm not sure if we may or may not have done that a time or two or more. That's entirely possible, but. The principle is there that children are supposed to have respect for their parents, and with that respect comes obedience. Again, respect is the attitude that produces action, and so I believe having a respect for your parents should produce action, should produce obedience. Now I will say that you can have obedience without respect. You can do out of fear. But I think it's pretty hard to have respect and not have obedience. So the two do go hand in hand. So for children, you're called to honor your parents. You're called to obey. And you're called to respect them. So what about, What about as you get older? So what about us as adults? When does the call to honor your parents end? Does anyone know? Clyde, maybe you have an answer for us. Okay. So your parents are gone, but you still have an appreciation and for what they have done. And I think that is correct. And I don't think that there is ever a time that it's not when you get married that you suddenly now throw everything away that you've been taught. Hopefully you still have that respect. What you have been taught has impacted you, hopefully for life. And that should continue to impact you throughout the rest of your life. So maybe it doesn't mean you're going to continue to do things exactly the way they have done them. For instance, you know, if I'm trying to think of a good example here, but you know, maybe at home your dad did things a certain way, you know, a certain you always washed the car Saturday afternoon because that is what you did. You know, so maybe you switch things up, you wash it Saturday morning instead of Saturday. I'm talking, you know, so there's things that you can do that's still honoring your parents. It's not that you have to do everything the same, but I think there is an attitude that you can have of respecting them and being respectful of them. Maybe don't, even if you're doing things a little different, you don't flaunt it, you don't push it back on them. But having that attitude of respect toward what you have been taught, I think is very good. So what about parents to their children? Because verse 4, which is I did read, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So thinking here, it's talking about dads, it's addressing fathers, but I think it applies to mothers as well, to parents. So should us as parents, should we have respect for our children? Remember, respect is having regard for their feelings and wishes. So, and I think as parents, we really should. we should be thinking about our children's feelings. Not that we give in and let them, quote unquote, run the show, because we are the parent after all. But I think there's times that, you know, there's a reason why Paul wrote this about not provoking your children. Don't just treat them with disrespect. Don't just disregard anything they're saying, their feelings, but treat them respectfully. What about between husband and wives? Should we have respect for each other? And if you're married here, I would hope you would say yes, because if you don't, your spouse would probably tell you you should have said yes, because in a marriage relationship, and I don't have this all figured out yet. After almost 26 years, you'd think I would, but I'm not quite there yet. Maybe next year, but I think I'm becoming increasingly aware of how much, you know, what does respect look like in a marriage relationship? Respecting my wife's feelings, her wishes, or do I just plow ahead and this is what we're going to do, without taking her thoughts into consideration? I think, you know, for me, that's a challenge at times to really have that respect. Thinking about elders, another area we could look at is that of church leaders. A couple of verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Again, Paul's writing here, and he says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So the idea here of esteeming them very highly, I think the ESV translation would say to respect them for their work. And I'll admit that feels maybe a little bit strange here to stand up here and talk to you. You guys really ought to respect me because of who I am. So let's talk about Dean instead, since he's back there and he's not up here. So let's talk about respecting Dean and say, what does that actually look like? I'm probably gonna kind of lay off of this one a little bit, but one of the things that is actually at the end of the verse 13 there that I read was, be at peace among yourselves. And from my perspective as in leadership, having a congregation that gets along is probably one of the biggest things you can do to show respect for us, for the position we're in. Living peaceably. And I will say, I do feel a lot of respect coming from you. So I don't think I don't have to belabor this point, because I do feel that I feel a lot of respect, probably sometimes more than you would have to. I'm not sure if that's possible, But I think to live peaceably is a way of showing respect to us as leaders. So the third area of respect is that of we did the reverence, we did elders, we're at S, and that is the state. Romans 13, if you're familiar with it, is the passage talking about the Christian's relationship to the government. And we could start at the beginning, but we're going to jump down to verse 7. And in verse 7 says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Again, that same concept is picked up a little later in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." So, of course, we don't have a king here in the United States. We have a president. But what does that look like? What does it look like to honor the president? You might say, well, that's kind of hard to do right now. Maybe it would be easier if someone else were in office. And would it be? Keep in mind that the ruler at the time that this was written, when Paul was writing this, this was, I believe, under, was it Nero, perhaps? would have been the emperor at that time. Not exactly someone who was a kind, benevolent ruler by any means. And so Paul was still saying that you're supposed to honor the king. So I don't think we have to agree with our government to honor them. I think part of honoring them is obeying the laws as long as they're not conflicting with God's law. I believe that's part of respecting and honoring them. I believe another way we could do that is praying for them. 2 Timothy 2, he talks about that you're supposed to pray for the, I believe for the king is how it's worded there in 1 Timothy 2. So we're called to pray, we're called to obey. What about, you know, how do we talk about our leaders? Do we like to sit around and talk? And I don't like to get into politics too far, but you know, do we bash President Biden and Nancy Pelosi or fill in your politician of choice there? Do we talk about how bad and how terrible they are? Maybe we don't agree with them, but at the same time, I think we have to acknowledge that God did put them into office. I believe God allowed them to be in office. And so we're called to respect, we're called to obey them. What media do we feed on? Do we engage a lot with websites that are just trashing, you know, whether you're far right or far left? It seems like all political news is either far right or you're far left. And it's either the Democrats are the best thing ever and Republicans are terrible, or it's the other way around. And it seems that there is your party never made a mistake and the other one has never done anything right. And so if you feed yourself on that, it's really hard to have a lot of respect for anyone who has a differing view. But I think as Christians, we need to be aware of that. And we need to respect whoever's in office, whether it's President Biden, whether it was President Trump, you know, whether you agreed with them or not. I think we are called to respect them and to continue to pray for them. I had to think of, you know, the last, it seems like it's really the last few months have really ramped up with the midterm elections coming up. The ads, whether you're online, the ads that are coming up, whether you're on the radio, and it's the ones I seem to hear the most are Fetterman versus Oz, you know, for the U.S. Senate. And, you know, one of them is just, oh, Fetterman's the worst thing. And the next ad comes right back and it's Oz is so terrible. And I'm not saying who is good or who is bad or who's right or who's wrong. I think as Christians, we're called to pray for whoever God places in office. That kind of came home to me one time a few months ago. It was in a group where there were some things being said about President Biden that was less than respectful. And I was kind of chiming in with some things. Yeah, I heard this. And someone brought this up, said, you know, really, is this respectful? Is this what we're called to do? And that was really kind of made me step back and realize, like, wait a minute. No, this isn't really the right thing. This is not what we should be doing for our leader that God has put in place. So remember, the world has become increasingly polarized, disrespectful toward anyone who thinks differently. But as Christians, we should model a better way that will point others to Christ. So we went through reverence, we went through elders, we went through the state. Now we're letter P is that of property, of physical things. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So how do we respect people's things? Maybe we have a better idea of how people should respect our own things. But if we look at the golden rule of taking that and turning it back to someone else's things. So how do we treat other people's things? I believe when we have respect for people's things, we take care of them. If we're borrowing something, we treat it as if it's our own, or maybe better than it's our own. Maybe you would abuse your own things a little more than you would someone else's. I believe it also means that we ask before we borrow something from someone. And I believe that can be at home. That can be maybe it's just borrowing something from your sibling, but ask them what, you know, can you do that? I believe that shows respect to them and also to their things. The other side is if someone asks to borrow something, are we generous? I think we should be. Again, if we're using someone else's things, if we have respect for their property, if it gets damaged, if it's broken, we should be offering to repair it or replace it. I think we should also return it in a timely manner. It's part of respecting other people's property. And I think that is, as Christians, we are called to do that. The next point, so we went through reverence, we had elders, we had the state, P was property. The second E is that of employer, or we could say employees, depending on which side of the equation you're on here. If you are an employee here this morning, you should be respecting your employer. If you are an employer, you should be respecting your employees. There's a couple of verses here on both sides. First of all, is directed toward, we could say, employers. The Colossians 4 verse 1 talks about masters, which would be the same thing. Colossians 4, 1 says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. So talking employers to employees. And then the other side of it is 1 Peter 2, verse 18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good, but also to the froward. And 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 and 2 says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are their brethren, but let them rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. So thinking here, regardless of where you're at, you know, let's say, for instance, you're an employee. So your employer, you should be respecting. So what does that look like? I think it kind of encapsulates some of the things we've already talked about as far as treating the property as though it were your own. Do we say, well, it's just a work, it's just something for work, and we abuse it, we beat it up? What about do we represent our company well as an employee? Do you present well to your customers? Or do you badmouth the employer behind his back? Do you talk about to your customers about how this is a terrible place to work because he just doesn't pay me enough and they're terrible? And then the question becomes, well, why are you still working there? Obviously, but it's something that how do you show respect to your employer? If you're an employer, how do you show respect to your employees? Whether you're the owner, whether you're just a manager, do you ask someone that's under you to do something you would never do yourself? Do you make demands of them that are going to infringe on their time, maybe personal time, because you've got to get this done? And how do you respect those that are under you? That. To me is a challenge because I work in an industry with taxes. We have a small window when there is a lot of work that has to happen. And I try not to drive the people too hard on my team because I do want them to have a life outside of work. But there is something, you know, there's this, you try to find this healthy balance of you've got to get this stuff done, but I really want them to have a life beyond work. And so to me, there's 3 months out of the year when that becomes a real tension of how do I respect them and respect their time, but also try to get the work done. So it's a challenge. We move on to letter C, and that is community. And so community is kind of a broad word, and that's going to include our neighbors, our extended families, our church families. So that's a wide open area. Again, a number of verses that would speak to that. Looking at just two of them here, 1 Peter 2 verse 17, which we already had read, it begins with honor all men or respect everyone. So that pretty much covers all of it. Romans 12, verse 10 would say, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Again, speaking of interpersonal relationships, and what does that look like? So how do we respect those, whether it's our neighbor, whether it's someone we meet on the street, whether it's someone through work, a coworker perhaps? How do we show respect for those people? I think the first thing we have to do is we have to see them through God's eyes. We have to see them as God sees them. They are made in God's image. And because they're made in God's image, they are worthy of respect. Do we look at someone, do we make some mental judgments, you know, based on their, maybe perhaps on their skin color, based on their gender, their economic status? Do we look at them and say, well, they're just whatever you put in the whatever descriptor you want to have it, and because of we look down on them because of that? That's not respecting them. That's not treating them as God would treat them. So what about in the church, among the church family here? Do we have respect for others? How does that look? I mean, I would hope we're not judging each other like, well, he's, you know, because of this, I don't like him, and I'm just going to make sure I sit on the other side and stay away from him. I don't think we have that. I mean, but how do we show respect for those who we interact with? What about someone who is thinking in a broader community? How do we show respect to those who maybe apply scripture differently than we do? What about maybe a more conservative church group? They take a different approach. You know, do we look down on them for that? Do we feel that we are better than they are? I would hope not. But realizing that we can have different interpretations of scripture, and that's okay. We serve the same God. But I think that can be a challenge to us. How do we show respect to those who are different than we are? So we went through reverence. We had elders. We had the state. We had property. We had employers. We had the community. And finally, letter T is that of time. And so how do we respect time? Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So speaking about, you know, the verse here is carrying out the idea that we have a certain amount of time that is given to us, and we need to be responsible for that. So how can we respect other people's time? Or can we? And I think we can. There's just some very simple ways to do that. You know, when we say we're going to be somewhere at a certain time, are we there? Do we carry that out? Or are we someone who's always known as, well, tell him to come at 6 when you really want him there at 6:30, because that's when he's going to show up. Are we someone who respects people's time when it's time to go home at the end of the evening? Or do we hang out there until they're like yawning and yawning, and after a while you're like, I believe they maybe want to go to bed or something. And, but be respectful of people's time. I did have a thought, you know, I don't know if does respecting time apply to ministers as well? I'll let you decide. Maybe you can give me feedback later on that one. But, I believe as for each of us, we can respect other people's time and respect them as well through that. So as we looked at these different areas, we looked at reverence. Again, we looked at elders, we looked at the state, we looked at property, employers, the community, and time. And as we think of these different areas, we think of the world around us. You know, again, the world has become increasingly polarized and disrespectful toward anyone who thinks differently. And as Christians, we need to model a better way that points others to Christ. So if I were to ask you this morning, are you disrespectful? Or are you respectful toward others? What would your answer be? I would hope that you'd all say, oh, absolutely, I'm very respectful. So my challenge to you is this week, maybe today, go home, talk to your family, start with your family and ask them, you know, maybe as parents, ask your children, do you feel that you're respected or not? And just because you don't give them everything doesn't mean you don't respect them. Children, maybe you need to look at yourself and ask, you know, am I being respectful to my parents? It is a challenge. So in conclusion, as we think of this, the idea of respect, and I think the last few years, I'm not sure when it kind of started, but I think it's I've observed it. Respect has really, really disappeared, it seems like, in the last, I don't know if you want to say 10 years, maybe more. In the political world, especially, you see it, you hear it, as already mentioned in the ads. You know, there's you can't agree to disagree with anyone anymore. It's either you're either on my side or you're against me. There's no respect. And I think that has come very close to home as well. I believe COVID maybe has brought that out in some ways that we've never seen before. You know, the whole, should we wear a mask or shouldn't we wear a mask? Do we stay open or do we stay closed? Do you get the vaccine or do you not get the vaccine? And so often conversations around these topics have become so polarized that you can't, if you disagree with me on this, one of these topics, you are totally wrong. I can't respect you for the decision you have made. But you must be wrong if you don't agree with me. Whether it's on social media, whether it's in conversations, there's been a lot of damage done by people's attitudes in some of these areas. And I think as Christians, we can do better than that. We can treat each one with respect. We can't control the world around us, but we can model a better way. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word that we could look into. Lord, as we think of the topic of respect, I just pray that you would give us wisdom, give us direction, Father, that we would model respect toward everyone we interact with, Father, that we could show others the better way, and that of living out your principles in our lives each day. Father, I just pray that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom as we interact with those around us, Father. Help us to treat each one with respect. In Jesus' name, amen.